Today's gospel, as I've mentioned, Matthew chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down on the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, fellow worshipers of our glorious Savior, Jesus, most good things take time, right? Don't they? A good bottle of wine, that remodeling project at home, do it yourself at least, master's degree, or, you know, just a college education. They're not things that come quickly. Even our sanctification, right? Even our Christian living, our forgiveness, our justification. God declares us forgiven and we are forgiven. We'll never be more forgiven. But our sanctification, our living over time, we can grow and we can mature in our faith. Okay? Time is important in a lot of ways. And in this area, in the Washington, D.C. area, it's a common complaint. There just isn't time. And there's the time we do have is spent on the highways. And so if we don't have the quantity of time that we wish we had, well, at least we search for quality time, you know. Or maybe a little quiet time, a little me time, or maybe a little alone time with my spouse, or with my son or daughter or parent. Transfiguration Sunday is today, and Jesus' transfiguration is certainly some quality time, and it's certainly some quiet time, some special time, but it's a glorious and an amazing time also, some alone time with Jesus. The 3 lessons that we've already heard, they're really all connected, aren't they? And they help us to understand just what happened, including that last hymn that I've never sung before, but that perfectly summed everything up, too. Help us to understand what happened up there on that mountain, but also find help for our lives, okay? You know, mountains in the Bible are always special places, and special things happen up on mountains, okay? Somebody once said, mountains in the Bible are where heaven and earth meet. Okay? There are so many truths in this reading, in the gospel reading here from Matthew. There's so many things to apply to our lives. There's so many thoughts to consider and ponder and think about. Let's just have some alone time with Jesus this morning. As we walk through the gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 17, we've already read it. I'm not going to read the entire text for you again, but let's have some alone time with Jesus so we can see his divinity and we can hear his word and understand his mission. I'd like to read just 2 verses, verse 1, the beginning verse. And so, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And then towards the end of this reading, in verse 8, when they looked up, They saw no one except Jesus. This was not the first time that Jesus was seeking out some solitary time, right? There were many times, as you read through the Gospels, that Jesus withdrew from the big crowds because he wanted to just spend some time alone, maybe even passing the night alone with whom? With his heavenly Father. Already there's a lesson for us, isn't there? Jesus, God's perfect and holy Son, if he felt the need to spend time with his heavenly Father, how much more we who are not holy and perfect, how much more do we need that special time with God, our heavenly Father? But this time, Jesus took with him three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. And he had a good reason. Because 6 days before this, Jesus, for the very first time, had told all of his disciples that he would be delivered over into the hands of sinners and would be accused and would be tried and crucified. And those disciples at that first, they didn't understand it, did they? And they couldn't comprehend and they were confused. And Jesus just let them think about it and ponder that and struggle with that for a few days. But then 6 days later, he said, now it's time to act and for their good, and I'm going to help them now. And he took those disciples up. And he had told all of his disciples many times that he was God's Son and the Savior. And he had shown them so many times in miracles that he had performed before many people or just among few people, and they were witnesses of his miracles that show that he's God's Son. But this time, he showed them in such a special way and a different way. Went up the mountain. What started out like a few minutes of quiet time with Jesus, suddenly it burst open into this glorious experience, an experience that they had never had before this in their life up to that point. And you guys remember, we've heard the lessons, and you guys are familiar with this story about some of the details, the light. The gospel writers try to describe it in different ways. Matthew says Jesus' face was shining with light coming out from it, and his clothes were white, like no other white that anyone had ever seen. The message is pretty clear, right? This is Jesus, God's Son, who is holy. He's almighty. And he's eternal. He's the one. He's the Savior. He's God. Not that this was something new. Jesus didn't have to muster up somehow the strength, or God didn't give him a special boost of glory for this moment. No. Jesus very simply just opened the curtain or the veil, and he let those three disciples see what normally throughout his life was veiled in Jesus' humanity. Right? Jesus didn't always use his glory, but at that moment, and for their good, he pulled that away. He wanted them to see that then, and he wants us to see that. And then Moses and Elijah appeared with them, talking with Jesus. These great prophets, two of the greatest of all the prophets, they had served, they had worked during some crucial times for God's people in the Old Testament, but even more than that, they were key signs of the coming of the Messiah. Moses had spoken about how God would send another prophet like me, one of us from among the people. Another Elijah would be the forerunner. And so these two prophets that pointed ahead to God, to Jesus coming, they had to be there. Peter reacted like he often did, right? Immediately and quickly. Remember what he said? Oh, Lord, it's good to be here. It's good for us to be here. And let's build three tabernacles. Then we can stay here. Then we can remain in this moment. And this moment can carry on for a long time. And Peter wasn't wrong, totally, right? And Jesus didn't scold him. 6 days earlier, when Jesus said he was going to die, and Peter said, no way, Lord. Remember what Jesus told Peter? Get behind me, Satan. Okay? But Jesus doesn't rebuke him here. But he was simply misinformed a little bit. He got carried away by the moment, but who can blame him, right? Here he was seeing Jesus in all his glory and in all his divinity. So we might ask, why? Why did Jesus choose to do this then and there? For those disciples who had heard Jesus predict his death, who struggled to understand it, and it would get rougher as they would go. They would see their master, their teacher, their Lord, their Savior. They would see him captured and not put up a fight. And they would see him beaten. And eventually they would see him led away and sentenced and crucified like a mere weak, defeated human being. But Jesus wanted to give them a glimpse right here and right now of who he was, okay, and a reminder of his divinity. And so he said, Peter, James, and John, my friends, look at me, right? And Jesus wants the same for us, doesn't he? Can you sense, as we go through this story, maybe as we read the story earlier, the gospel lesson, can you sense Jesus kind of coming to us and calling us and saying, look at me. Don't ignore me. One of our professors at the seminary used to say, you know, God will put up with a lot of things from us, but one of them is not coming in second place. And Jesus was calling his disciple, and he calls us also. Can you sense Jesus through the lessons today almost coming and saying, look at me, grabbing our attention? I'm God's holy, perfect Son, the one Savior, the only Savior. And here I am with you and among you. Right? Can you sense Jesus here making heaven and earth meet for us as we gather here, not just today on Transfiguration Sunday, but every time we gather here in the presence of Jesus, preparing us for the future? It's true, we're prone to give our attention to other things and to other people, even ignore Jesus, but we need to keep our eyes and our ears and keep our attention on Jesus always. And we get to see his glory today through these lessons. We get to see his divinity, and we remember he's the one. But then listen, as Peter was speaking, suddenly from a cloud of light that had covered the mountain, there was a voice, the voice of God the Father, right? Peter, stop talking. Start listening. Okay. And if being flooded with this light wasn't enough, and if seeing Moses and Elijah in their presence speaking with Jesus wasn't enough, then that same voice that a couple years earlier had come down from heaven at Jesus' baptism at the beginning of his ministry, this is my son, this is the one whom I love, okay, it came back again. I'm well pleased in him. And then the Father added one extra directive, didn't he? Listen to him. Naturally, those disciples with this whole experience, what'd they do? They were terrified. They threw themselves down, face down in the ground. And you know why, right? There's no getting around the fact. We're sinners in the presence of God. They threw themselves down for that reason. But then they had the chance to follow up on what the Father had just said. Listen to him, because Jesus came over to them and he touched them. And what did he say? Get up. Do not be afraid. Okay? Peter, James, and John, don't be afraid. Right? His words, the words of Jesus, the very words had authority. They have power. Jesus' words have power. They convey power. They're the message, though. There's the message of Jesus. There's the message of the whole Bible and what Jesus was all about. There is forgiveness for sinners. For those who are convinced and convicted of their sin, there's comfort. For those who are bothered by their lack of holiness in the presence of God who is holy, there's forgiveness. There's peace. And there's grace for all of those who fall short. So Peter, James, and John, get up. Okay? And God says to us also, do not be afraid. Yeah, sinners like us, every single one of us, we should fear when we think about God's holiness, absolute and perfect. And when we think about our sinfulness, the only appropriate attitude on our part is humility and contrition before a holy God. And yet when sinners who recognize the message of Jesus and hear that their sins have been forgiven and paid for and removed, and when they hear it is finished, that the one who came down the mountain so that he could go up another mountain, the Mount Calvary, and pay for our sins, comes and says, you are forgiven. I gave my life for you. Don't fear. And Jesus also says, get up. And it's true, sinners who are forgiven, who realize that they've been forgiven, they don't sit still. They don't stand pat. They don't remain indifferent. They stand up. They want to listen. They want to hear more. They want to listen more intensely and go deeper. They can't get enough of that message. And yet, Jesus' words should be taken seriously. And Jesus would say to us, God the Father would say to us, stop talking and start listening. Okay? We need time alone with Jesus. We need to spend time with his word, with Jesus, to listen to him. We could give examples. Listen less to Twitter. Listen less to CNN or Fox or Spotify or Netflix, and just listen to Jesus more and more. What if somehow there was looping in our hearts or in our minds a recording of what the Father said to those disciples? Listen to him. Listen to him. What if we could get that reminder every morning? Listen to him. What if we get that reminder as we take a break in our day? Listen to him. What a difference that would make if we could spend time with Jesus, listen more often, listen more closely, listen more deeply. What a blessing that would be. What a blessing that is for us. And then suddenly, thinking back to those disciples, when the disciples heard Jesus' message of encouragement, they looked up and they saw no one except Jesus. The story kind of, this episode at least, came full circle. And there was no more light. And there were no longer, Moses and Elijah were no longer there. And the voice from heaven was silent. And even Jesus was back as they had always seen him day to day, not shining before them, but just veiled in his humanity. And so they started down the mountain. Because the story wasn't complete. This episode was, but the story wasn't complete. And there was more to be told and there was more to be done. Not up there on the mountain, but down on the plain. And on the way down, Jesus said something that probably seems strange to us. Remember that last verse? As they were coming down, what did he tell those disciples? Don't tell anyone about this. What? This is the greatest experience of our lives. This is the message of forgiveness and my lack of holiness has been taken care of, and you comfort me, and we're not supposed to say anything? Why, Jesus? But remember what he said. Don't tell anybody about this until my resurrection, okay? That story hadn't been told and completed, and they didn't understand, did they, until they could see Jesus' death. They still didn't understand. And then Jesus read, and they still didn't understand. But when Jesus finally made forgiveness for the world an accomplished fact, and he sent his Holy Spirit to them, then they understood. And then they would have work to do to build on the work that Jesus had done in spreading the word and telling others. It seems strange to us that Jesus said this because we know the whole story, but that's the point, right? You really can't understand Jesus unless you understand his death and his resurrection. He's the Savior of all people. He's the Savior of all ages. There's just one story from beginning to end in the Bible, right? There's just one message of the Bible. There's one driving force from the beginning of creation until the end of time. God's intense, deep love for sinners and his willingness to do what it takes, even sacrifice his own son to carry that out. And now, today, now that that forgiveness for the world is a done deal, there's no reason for us not to tell. We tell everybody. Not just about Jesus' transfiguration, but about the whole story. His transfiguration for us is this little taste of heaven. Oh, and it's sweet, isn't it? And it encourages us and it strengthens us and we find help for our lives here. Think about it. If we are tempted to feel that our sins are few and relatively minor, and let's be honest, everything inside of us and everything in our world kind of wants us to think that way. But if we're tempted, Jesus' transfiguration speaks to that, doesn't it? And his holiness and the sinners that were before him. Okay? If we're tempted to think, does God even exist? If he does, isn't he just so irrelevant and distant from us? Jesus' transfiguration has something to tell us about that also, doesn't it? And if we're tempted to think, does really living a Christian life, is it really worth it? Jesus' transfiguration has something to say about that also. If we don't think worshiping Jesus every week, every day of our lives is really that important, Jesus' transfiguration has something to say about that also. And if we doubt whether our telling the message to others will make a difference, well, Jesus' transfiguration has something to say about that. So this morning, we have this privilege of spending this quiet time, this alone time with Jesus, but let's continue to do that. Let's continue to spend time with Jesus, see his divinity, and hear his word day by day, and understand his mission, just as he gives evidence of it here. Let him speak to you through the word about his death for you and about his resurrection for you. And let him speak to you about the suffering that's in your life. But let him speak to you about the glory, right, that he has promised and will give you. Right? We wait for that. We wait for that full glory of heaven. And yet, the morning star has already risen in our hearts through faith in Christ. Okay? And so we pray. I invite you all to pray. Let's just fold our hands, bow our heads, and pray as we conclude here. Lord Jesus, it is good to be here where heaven and earth meet on the Mount of Transfiguration today through your word. It would be better yet, Lord, to take these words and to take these images and take these truths with us into our lives for our good and for the good of others, to take this little bit of heaven into all the earth. But, O Lord, it will be best of all when earth and everything on earth disappears and when we will be in heaven with Moses and Elijah, with Peter, James, and John, more importantly with you, Lord Jesus, our loving Savior. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen.